49ers Fancast number 69 for November 9th, 2011.
Montana rolling out the right, looking toward the end zone, throwing under pressure, throws his pass, caught by Clark! Clark got a touchdown! Clark has it! It's a touchdown for the 49ers!
Montana, at quarterback, in motion, comes right. Back to throw, Montana. Steps up, throws.
And Beck takes the snap, dropping deep, throws the cross, caught by Austin, fumbled the ball. Picked up by Navarro Bowman, 49er ball. Smith under center, play fakes, Alex dropping. Throwing that wheel down the near side, he's got Miller out there at the five, he's in, touchdown!
Yeah, 7-1 means we got a chance to be 8-1. Yeah, sweet, I mean, all that matters is the W. We're not into the style points, we got the win. What we came here to do. I'm not worried about credit as long as we keep winning. I mean, ultimately, that's what a quarterback's evaluated on. I'm not worried about anything else.
San Francisco, he shouted, Harbaugh! Harbaugh! Harbaugh is the coach for our return.
What's your deal?
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
I gotta tell you what, from one Chicago Bear to another, Jim Harbaugh gives much better sound bites than that last guy, whoever he was. Hello again, and it's a little early this week, and I'm hoping this is the start of a new tradition. Hello everyone, Indiana Jim. My name is Jim, and I live in Indiana. Born in Auburn, California, the heart of Gold Rush Country. Raised in Plumas County. Mount Lassen, Lake Elmanor. Lived a little in Arizona, and now I'm in Indiana. Long, long time 49ers fan. Those of you who have been listening, well, you already knew all this. And those of you who are new to the show, welcome. Please engage in the discussion. I have a voicemail line, and I want you to use it. And the number on that voicemail line is, as I bring up the page on my handy-dandy iPhone, I love the iPhone, by the way, best thing ever, 3477-GO-NINERS. That is 3477-GO, the number 9, ERS. You can leave your voicemail there, have it played on the show. You can email the show, 49ersfancast@gmail.com. Please visit the blog, 49ersfancast.com, and leave your comment on the blog post for this episode. Also, you can find me on Twitter, at 49ersFanCast. That's with the 49 ERS. Fancast, in case you were wondering. I'm not going to tell you how to spell that. Good luck. And you can also follow me at Indiana Jim, where I tweet on things related to writing, science fiction, and fantasy, and politics, and movies, and music, and anything else that interests me at the time. Again, welcome to the 49ers Fancast. So what are we talking about this time? We're talking about the 49ers 7-1. 7-1. Raise your hand if you saw that coming. And I'm not going to complain. But nobody expected this, especially after a lockout season. Especially after that. And if you listened to episode 68, you would have heard me tell you exactly kind of what we got on Sunday. We got a very slow first half, though the 49ers were able to get a drive, translate it into a touchdown on a beautiful floater to Bruce Miller on the wheel route. Totally caught the Redskins linebacker by surprise. Safety couldn't get over there in time. Beautiful play. Probably, I would say, Bruce Miller right now is more fluid than Tom Rathman ever was. Now, Tom Rathman had excellent hands, wasn't real fluid, but he could get out and move. And as far as pure athleticism, Miller's got an edge there, but Rathman, of course, was a far more punishing lead blocker, which Miller's coming along. But, you know, I don't remember Rathman running too many deep wheel routes. Maybe it did happen, but it was a beautiful play and a great thing to see for Mr. Miller there. And it was funny, reading the transcript from what Tom Rathman said, getting on Miller for not keeping the football after scoring a touchdown. And he's like, oh, I forgot, coach. I was just giving the ball to the ref. And that was pretty funny. But yeah, we got a pretty slow, kind of cruddy game in the first half a little bit. Second half wasn't, you know, that much more entertaining. And just couldn't get those red zone drives completed in this game. And I still think part of that is working out some of the kinks in the passing game. I think that all things, you know, being equal, Alex had a pretty good game on first and second down and kind of half and half on third down. And he had a lot better plays on first and second. Not sure why. Third down efficiency was 3 of 12, so that wasn't really great. But had 10 first downs passing. So those weren't on third down. Those were on, like, first and second downs. And had more balls going to Crabtree, had some balls going to Edwards, had an almost touchdown go to Vernon Davis, who dropped it at the five-yard line. And there were a few drop passes. So, you know, Alex pretty much was on target for most of the game. I didn't hear the Redskins radio guys, which I had to listen to opposing team radio once again, because KNBR can't get their iPhone app fixed. Listening to those guys, and I don't know who's... I know John Riggins is one of the guys, and one of the other guys, they had some banter going back and forth, which was pretty funny. But didn't hear any of them say, you know, Smith sails a ball, you know, to so-and-so or whatever. Didn't hear any of those calls. And one of the other things was that was funny was when they said, well, the Redskins are going to dare their quarterback to beat us, and he can't beat you. And then, like, two plays later, he's like, their quarterback really puts the ball on the money. It was just funny. And a few things to note, I guess, being penalties. They were penalized 9 times for 55 yards versus 3 penalties for the Redskins, and yet they still came away with a win. I think a lot of penalties have to do with being on the road in a hostile environment, which from what I heard, they had a lot of 49ers fans in the stands there. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing I noticed, and this is an upgrade over the last game, there's been a bit said about Alex not throwing the ball downfield. And I just wanted to point out to you a couple things. Michael Crabtree had a long of 21 yards. 5 catches, 51 yards. That's an average of 10.2. That's pretty good. Vernon Davis, a long of 21. 4 catches, average of 10.3. Braylon Edwards, a long of 24, 2 catches for 30. Now, that comes out as an average of 15, but really we know one was 24 and one was 6. Miller had the 30-yard touchdown pass. Walker, 2 catches for 15, his long of 10. Ted Ginn, a long of 14, on 1 catch for 14. Williams, 1 catch for 12. And Gore, 1 catch for 7. So he was throwing more balls past the sticks against the Redskins. And it still seems to me that they're working out some of the passing game, that they're running through things, kind of treating these games almost like practice. And it's funny, and it's clear that they can do that against teams like the Browns, like the Redskins. And they're going to need some of these plays when they come in to play the Giants, or when the Giants come in to play them. They're going to need these kinds of pass plays, and I expect them to work more of these out versus Arizona. When Arizona comes to Candlestick, they're going to be working out some of that passing game because they're going to have the kind of opposition where they can do that. And we haven't seen them spread the ball out yet. And I think it's going to be interesting when they start going to more multiple wide receiver formations. Now, we've seen some, but we haven't seen a bunch. And that's kind of what I'm expecting them to want to do later And that's why I think they're playing a lot of things close to the vest. As Adam Snyder said a couple weeks ago, they've only gotten through about half the playbook. And I think they're saving a lot of that spread stuff for later when they need to throw the ball more. And I think you're going to start seeing some of that Thanksgiving night. I think Harbaugh's going to want to open it up against his brother. He's going to want to give the Ravens all kinds of stuff that they haven't seen on film. Because you know Jim wants to beat John. And you know that he's been watching tape of the Ravens all year. And I think he's looking forward to that one game. And I think the country's looking forward to that game. And when the 49ers come out of Candlestick 8-1 against the Giants, and then 9-1 over the Cardinals, that is really going to be a big-time matchup nationwide. I think a lot of people are going to be interested in that. And depending on the weather, I would think that Jim maybe will open things up a little more in that game. And I certainly think that if they host a team like New Orleans or Detroit, they're going to want some of that stuff to, you know, everybody's going to be keying on Gore, because Gore's another game, five straight games over 100 yards, franchise record, and just wonderful to see for him. Now, he tweaked his ankle a little bit, so we'll probably see more Kendall Hunter next week, which I think is good, but I think they've been playing a lot of things close to the vest, not to give too much away. And it's almost like, well, you know, what if they, you know, what if this philosophy ends up losing a game? Well, it hasn't yet. I mean, if you consider Dallas, but that was, you know, blown coverage in overtime, there was a couple places they could have probably pulled that one out. But point is, this philosophy is not something, they're not finding themselves behind by a great measure. And when they have found themselves behind, they've been able to put it together and win the game. And even in Cincinnati, where it was just not very good all day long, all they needed is that one drive, and they won the game. And in Detroit, when Alex was having a horrible day, all they needed was that one drive. They ran the ball a lot, but all he needed was a few good throws. In Philadelphia, when they found themselves down by 20, he was 9-for-9. You know, and obviously we know they didn't open it up more, they just played better. But Alex threw the ball better. And a lot of these people say, well, you know, what if they need to throw the ball to come back? Well, they have. They've done that. And it hasn't been like, spread them out, spread them wide and go. You know, saddle up your horses, let's ride. It was kind of keeping with those base plays. But I think you saw them try things against, like, Cleveland that you wouldn't expect them to do in a game against the Browns. I mean, it's just the Browns. But they're working through these things. They're running these things. They're seeing what they can do. And they're trying to get back in rhythm. And Alex is getting in a good rhythm with Crabtree, it seems like. Since the Detroit game, they've been getting, you know, they had the bye week, a few high passes against Cleveland, but Crabtree still had five catches. I mean, Crabtree still had seven against Detroit, five against Cleveland, five against Washington. They're starting to come together, I think, these two. And that's a really good thing to see. Very disappointed just in that drop, almost touchdown by Vernon. You know, and he gets in, he's kind of an emotional guy, and he gets in here back home in Washington and just had a few mental flubs. But I think one of the funniest parts was the fair catch penalty, where he calls for a fair catch on an onside, and it actually froze guys. There were actually guys that, what? And they kind of stopped, and it was hilarious. Patrick Willis, 13 tackles, 2 forced fumbles. Awesome to see. Goldson again. Goldson getting a pick. I was really hoping for Carlos Rogers to get a pick, but that didn't happen. 1 sack for Ahmad Brooks in his homecoming. Really good story by Matt Barrows. If you go to sackb.com in the sports section, there's a great piece on Ahmad Brooks and how he's come along since the death of his father. And Gore averaged 5.6 a carry. And Alex, pretty good game. Like I said, 17 to 24. There's a few drops in there. And, if you know, obviously a few errant throws. That happens with him. 200 yards even, 8.3 average. That's really pretty good. And a rating, it says there 110, but it was actually like 109.4. That's his passer rating from that game. Pretty good game. And now that we're at the halfway point, basically, 8 games in, and 64% of his passes. And let's look at, if we take just this half of the season, and let's say at the end of the season, you had Alex, 64% passer completion, whatever, 2,900 yards, 20 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 97 passer rating. Would you have taken that? Would you, and a lot of us would have said, no way. No way that'll happen. And it seems like, I don't know if it's if he's going to get better as the season goes on, throw for more yards, you know, just kind of stepping things up a little more. I don't know what's going to happen with the offense. I like to think that it's going to wake up some and do some more things and be a little more productive. But, you know, we'll see. But all in all, pretty good year for the guy. His best year probably ever. I don't know that it's enough to be Pro Bowl because he's not throwing for a lot of yards and doesn't have a lot of highlight reel stuff. But he's really developing a solid year here. Gore has 767 rushing yards, which is just unbelievable already. He's on a pace for, 782 yards, on pace for a lot, another 1,500 year. And he probably won't get there because he tends to break down a little bit, but who knows. Receiving yards, Vernon has 31 for 339, 3 touchdowns. Crabtree, keeping pace with 30 for 314 and a touchdown. Braylon Edwards only has 10 catches, but average of 12, 120 yards, no touchdowns. Gore, 13 receptions. Staley and Sopoaga there with one each. Justin Peel with one. And let's see. Well, anyway, so Davis and Crabtree on pace, I guess, for 60 apiece, and Walker and about 30. So what they're doing, though, what you see is it's really spreading the ball around, because after Vernon and Crabtree, you got Morgan at 15. He won't be coming back, obviously. Walker with 13, Edwards with 10, Gore with 13, Ginn with 7, and, of course, Braylon's missed a few games. And I expect his numbers to come up. So all in all, pretty good. Alden Smith still has 6.5 sacks. And I don't think he's... If he gets 13 sacks, you could make a case for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think they'd give it to him. I think they're some of that bias may come into play against West Coast teams. But still a pretty good year. Like I said, I don't expect Alex to be voted to any Pro Bowls this year, but you know, who cares? Team 7-1, and just unbelievable. I don't know when they're going to lose another game. And a lot of people may say, "Whoa, Sunday against the New York Giants." Well, I don't think so. And here's why: this Giants team plays right into the strengths of San Francisco. They are 11th in total yards per game, 371.6. About middle of the road in points, 24.8 a game. Niners allowing 15. Pass yards, they're 6th with 282.9. No, that's fine. Rushing yards, they are 29th in the league at 88.8 yards per game. And that right there is the number that is going to play into the favor of the 49ers, especially at home. Here are the teams that the Giants have played this year. They played the Redskins and lost. They beat the Rams, the Eagles, the Cardinals, lost to the Seahawks at home. barely beat Buffalo by a field goal at home, barely beat Miami by a field goal at home, and they beat the Patriots. Well, congratulations. Other teams have beaten the Patriots too. Patriots have a really good offense. They have a really bad defense. And I'm not seeing a lot of thrills from the Giants on this schedule. And this is going to be their first big test. And Buffalo's got a decent defense, but they're not the 49ers. They're not the 49ers who are allowing 70 rush yards per game, number one in the NFL. And let's see what else. Everybody that has beaten the Patriots has lost the week after. Not only that, they were on such an emotional high, they were lifting Tom Coughlin on their shoulders in the locker room. They spent a lot of emotional energy on this game. They are flying across the country. They are changing time zones. They're on the road after a big emotional win. They aren't running the ball really, really well. Almost last in the league. They're going to lose. And Jim Harbaugh is going to have the team prepared. And there's no way he's not going to. He's too good right now at this stage at getting their focus where it needs to be. And I keep repeating myself, but it's true. This team got so used to losing, they can't stand the idea of not winning. They've got too much of the taste of winning in their mouths. They've won six straight. They are just basically kicking butt and taking names across the league. 4-0 on the road, 10 a.m. Pacific starts, Eastern time zone. You can't say enough good things about the way this team is getting it done this year. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't want to have a letdown again. They're not going to have a letdown at home in probably arguably the biggest game yet of the season. They're basically kind of neck and neck. You got the Packers at 8-0, you got the Niners at 7-1, and you got the Giants at 6-2. And that's your top three in the NFC right now. Those are your top three teams vying for those vaunted first-round bye, number one and number two seeds. So you look at how many close games the Giants have had, zero blowouts against a soft schedule. This 6-2 that they have is kind of a mirage. And, yeah, they've looked pretty good, but again, look at the teams they've been playing. And they're still only, you know, 11th in total yards per game, 13th in points per game. Pass yards, 6. I mean, that's good, but you've been playing some pretty soft defenses. And they're not going to have that soft defense when they come in to play San Francisco. San Francisco is just beating people up defensively. And Ahmad Bradshaw on a less than 100% foot, he's not going to have his quickness, and they're going to punish him. And Brandon Jacobs, yeah, he's a big guy, but so is Isaac Sapuaga and Justin Smith and Ray McDonald, who will hopefully be back. If not, RJF's pretty big. Last I checked, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis are pretty good at tackling guys. I'm not real worried about him being big. He's slow, and they're just not going to run anywhere. And I'm just not... I want to say, you know, I'm not worried. Obviously, they have to show up. They have to play the game. Hello? You play to win the game. There are no gifts in this league. And I'm not saying this is a gift. I'm just saying they're going to win. And I don't... There's not really any case that you can make other than if the 49ers have just a complete blow-up of discipline at home. I just don't see that happening. And, you know, people say, well, don't fall asleep on the... I'm not falling asleep. I'm just telling you like it is. 49ers are going to win this game because this team plays right into their hands. Here's some more... You don't like offensive rankings? What about defensive rankings? In points allowed, they're 21st in the league at 23 points per game. So if they allow 23 and the Niners allow 15, there's a win right there. They're allowing 365 yards per game of offense. That's 19th in the league. Not great. They're allowing 238.5. So it's not like their secondary is stopping guys either. And wait for it. Rushing yards per game, 127.1 for 25th in the league. You tell me that this game doesn't play into the 49ers' hands perfectly. Just does. And there's not really much more that needs to be said there. So what are we to make of all this? There are guys just performing that we haven't seen perform at this level. I think Jim Harbaugh is great at just removing the pressure that Singletary and Nolan always had. And Singletary and Nolan always walked around like they were the big shots, you know? And Jim Harbaugh, you could say, well, he's got the college enthusiasm, but that's not true. He's got that I'm one of the guys enthusiasms, you know? Like one of the cool dads who, you know, plays around with their kids, but then the kids know when dad means business, you know? He's not fooling anybody, but he's demanding excellence, but he's not doing it in a boorish, angry way. You know, Nolan was the boor and Singletary was the angry, and Harbaugh's just kind of one of the guys, but everybody knows he's a smart guy. And everything he does, I believe, is calculated, which is awesome to see because that's exactly the way Bill Walsh was. You know, you look at a guy like Mooch. Mooch was college enthusiasm, and he had coached it in the league before. Harbaugh's actually played in the league, played for a long time, played at a high level, was a candidate for league MVP, I think, in 96 or something like that. So he's been at that highest level. And yeah, he gets intense after a win and in the locker room. But Mooch just had that gregarious energy at the podium. And Harbaugh's more even keel. And a good friend of mine, Kevin the Bengals fan, who I've mentioned before, talks about how the 49ers and the Bengals have both been running about 80% as far as the intensity level. You know, they're not running too emotional. And so they're not, you know, having that big letdown. They're sort of staying at this 80% intensity level, not getting too soft, not getting too overboard, just running right along at 80% and not having to expend too much energy, which I think is absolutely true. And it's great because it's working. And what am I trying to say with all this? That this team is really onto something. And, you know, you can't say anymore, you can't look at the 49ers and not consider the possibility of a good playoff run. People say, well, you know, they can't get to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, it used to be they can't get to 500. Now it's, well, they can't beat the Packers to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, all that stuff that I talked about last time, and, you know, people saying, well, they can't beat the Packers, they can't beat the Saints, they can't beat the Patriots. Bull pucky. And I'll take the Niners against those teams any day of the week. Now, the Packers, that's a tough order. But as I said before, those two teams, the Niners and Packers, and even Chris Carter, who I just found unbelievable, thinks the Niners could beat the Packers. And the reason for that is, of course, defense. It's strength against strength. It's that defense, you know, the Packers have faced weak competition just like the Giants, only the Packers are putting up far more points. They're blowing out teams every once in a while, or they're getting in shootouts with teams like San Diego, who haven't been able to put that many points up on the board all year long. Yet when the Packers come to town, it's like, you know, they're running right up and down the field. That defense stinks. And so you put them against one of the top defenses in the league, 49ers, haven't been giving up a lot of big plays, have been giving up yards, and then stopping teams in the red zone. And you take this offense against that defense, and they'll control the game. they won't need to rely on big plays because they'll just move the ball down the field methodically. Now, you got to punch it in the red zone, unlike with the Redskins where they got a lot of field goals. So I think the Niners could beat the Packers. I wouldn't be shocked to see them beat the Packers. It'd be a huge accomplishment, obviously, but it wouldn't be shocking. It wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, where did this team come from? But we'll take like the players and Harbaugh says himself, we'll take it one game at a time, trying to get better tomorrow than we were today. And next step is the Giants, and I think the Niners will win that game. Now, if you want a letdown, then bring the Cardinals to town and have everybody go, oh, well, we'll beat these guys. That's when I would look for Freddie P. Soft. Not this game. This game's too big. This game is way too big for them to lay down. They won't. They will bring everything they have. And so maybe I could see an emotional win at home and then facing the Cardinals and coming out flat. I don't know. I would expect that maybe more on the road. Let's say after they beat the Baltimore Ravens. Well, okay. After they play the Baltimore Ravens, let's say if they won that game, and then they come back, well, they would have the extra week and a half of rest, wouldn't they? Yeah. So maybe, they play the Cardinals on Sunday. Maybe they have a letdown because they're looking more for Baltimore, because Baltimore, that game's on Thursday. They won't have a lot of prep time. So I could see either, big win over the Cardinals at home, and then they come out flat on Thanksgiving night. I don't know. They tend to play better under the lights. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised to see obviously a loss. I mean, the Ravens obviously have a great defense, and that'll be a huge test for the offense. So, Frank can still run, probably give the ball to Hunter more in the game against the Giants. So Baltimore will be really interesting. But I'm definitely not going to write off the Niners against Baltimore. Anyway, I have talked your ear off enough. And remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can call the voicemail line, which is 347-7-GO-NINERS. 347, the number 7, G-O, the number 9, E-R-S. Email 49ersFanCast@gmail.com. Tweet me at 49ersFanCast or at Indiana Jim. And as always, please go to 49ersFanCast.com and join in the discussion in the comments section. I have several faithful commenters, like Danny B and Kamara and Sean and Old Man Niner. And there's some other ones. Honolulu Les has chimed in from time to time. And just come on and join the discussion there. And please, here, do this for me, if you would. I know a lot of you guys get the show on iTunes. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Please, go to the iTunes store, leave a review for the podcast. That gets the show noticed. That sometimes gets it up in the featured listings. The artwork's pretty good, I think. The consistency in episodes is pretty good, especially with the season going. And really, those reviews drive everything. So please, 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 go in there and leave a review for the show. Even if it's just short, it's the stars that matter. Leave the stars, say, I love this show. And that's all you got to do. And submit that review. That would be very, very helpful. I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. So, anyway, I'm done yapping at you. And I'll talk to you next time when the Niners are 8-1. Bye.